How do you know when the thoughts are good or bad? How do you know when the thoughts are aligned with His Word? You got to study the Word of God out. Studying is on a regular basis. You taking the time, you sitting still long enough to train yourself to embrace spiritual truth. Hello and welcome back to Changing Lives. We are changing lives with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So glad you joined again and have another dynamic message that's going to empower you. And I just know that as you receive this word, that it's going to be a blessing to you. So I'm going to start out talking about preparing your mind for action. We're in a state now, you know, that I believe that God is wanting to do some great things in our lives, and we're in a transitional stage now where even in the natural, the seasons are changing and different things like that, and there's anticipation, you know, for great things, a desire to do things different and to, you know, just to start doing things or to get back in the swing of things or whatever. Or maybe God is calling you to start something, start a business, start, you know, a new routine or something, you know, in your home, or maybe start back exercising or whatever, you know. But when it pertains to your mind, if you don't prepare it for action, you will probably have a hard way to go in whatever you start out to do, you know? And so I'm just going to share a scripture from out of 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 13th verse. It's actually one of my favorite scriptures because the Lord deals with me a lot as it relates to the mind. It's something I'm passionate about and ever learning and growing in that area, and want to be able to empower others to live victoriously as it relates to their minds. And it's paramount because your mind, where your mind goes, that's where your life would go. So if your mind is in negativity, if your mind is distraught and unorganized and just all over the place, guess what? Your life is going to be the same thing. And so, but God doesn't want us to be that way because He has great things for us, right? So from out of First Peter, the first chapter, 13th verse, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And I often talk about the girding up the loins of your mind, but this time the Lord has really had me focus on another version, which is from out of the Passion Version. And it says this, "So then, prepare your hearts and minds for action. Stay alert, and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. For when Jesus Christ is unveiled, a greater measure of grace will be released to you." And there's so much in this, but what really jumped out was that prepare your hearts and your minds for action. I think about, I used to run track and when I was in high school and did a season when I was in college. And I think about the what I had to do to prepare for a race, you know. Certainly preparing required a protracted period of time of conditioning my body and all of that, you know. In that actually trained my mind to be ready to be able to run in a race, you know. Even with our ministry, we do annually, we prepare for the 10K that's locally in our area. And so, you know, a 10K is like a little over 6 miles. And it's like, you don't just jump out of bed and haven't been doing anything and decide, oh, I'm going to do this. And really, you haven't prepared your mind for what's going to happen within those 6 miles, right? And so certainly you haven't counted the cost, you haven't prepared, you haven't done anything. And so it's a guarantee you're probably laid on the side of the road somewhere getting medical help. And we don't want that to happen, right? And so in life, you know, we have things that God wants us to put into action. There's things that we believe in God for. Faith is action. And when you apply by faith, you're going to move towards something, right? And so, but the biggest thing is getting your mind straight, because if you're in a state of mind of you can't do something, or it's impossible, it's too hard, probably 90% of what needs to be done is in your mind, right? And then the effort of actually putting it into play is much easier than what it is when you have in your mind the impossibilities and how hard it is. You know, if you're not prepared in your heart, in your mind, you will procrastinate. You will put things off over and over and over and over and over again. If you're not prepared in your mind, you won't even try, right? So that's what I want to encourage us to do as we're talking about gearing up to do something great. You know, you have to prepare your mind. And so basically what it is you are mentally and spiritually preparing yourself for anything that goes, gets thrown your way, you know, because in a perfect world, you know, everything's, you know, easy peasy, right? But we know that you're going to have different things that arise. You're going to have obstacles and different things like that. You know, when I think about a race, I used to do the quarter. And if you know anything about racing, you heard of the term where the monkey jumps on your back, right? And so you can prepare and prepare and prepare. But then when you get in a race and you have competition, it's going to push you to go beyond where you've been before. You know, even though you trained and you prepared yourself, but then, you know, what happens if the monkey tries to jump on your back, right? Are you going to mentally break down and think, okay, I can't do this? And then are you going to give way and give out? Or are you going to continue to allow the training that you conditioned yourself in to keep you focused and to keep your mind straight that I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, as opposed to you giving up and giving way? So there's going to be obstacles like that monkey that can jump on your back in a race, right? So you are mentally and spiritually preparing yourself for anything that can be thrown your way. And you react in a way that doesn't derail your life, your day, or just whatever you endeavor to do. And that's what that preparing your hearts and your minds for action is, that mental fortitude. And so Philippians 4:13 was one of those scriptures that I learned early on. And when I got a hold of the Amplified, it was like a home run, knock it out the park type of thing, where it's like, yes, this is my banner for life, you know, of whatever I endeavor to do, whatever, you know, I work at or whatever. Okay. And this is one of those scriptures that helped me prepare my heart and my mind for action. And so in the Amplified, it says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. It also reminds me of the scripture from out of 1 Peter, where it talks about how he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? So he's given me all things and I have strength for all things. Glory to God, whatever he gives me, right? And so so this is what we're talking about when we're saying prepare your hearts and your mind for action. These are things you have to have fixed in your psyche, right? Because you can have failure that can derail you, because you will talk yourself out of it. You won't give yourself a chance. You will lose heart, and you won't believe what is obtainable. You won't believe that that's something that you can obtain, that it's can be very well possible. And in God, it is possible. It can be very well reachable. And but you can convince yourself that, no, I can't. You know, I've seen people endeavor to do things and they put years and years into something and then they just give in and quit, because when it comes to being at the finish line, that's when you have to give that last thrust, that last bit of effort, that last bit of gusto, if you will, willpower and all that to push past those hard things, right? And so, so God in our lives wants us to be able to do that. This spiritual truth can be applied to everyday life. Everyday life. Home, work, school, finances, career, whatever your profession may be, your job, whatever it may be, when you recognize I have strength for all things in Christ, that's the key, right? In Christ, because we go at things a lot of times and Christ, Jesus is not even in it. God didn't even tell us to do it, right? And then when we don't succeed or when we get overwhelmed, we're taking this whole thing and pinning it on, okay, life is not fair. And you know, we want to blame it on God, or we can't quite understand, why am I not succeeding? Why am I not successful? Why is this not working for me? Because you took God out of the equation. You took Jesus out of the equation. You didn't receive the help of the Holy Spirit. So the key is this: you have strength for all things in Christ, okay? And so let's move on to this particular scripture where it says, so then prepare your hearts and mind for action. Stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. And this is really good, because staying alert has a whole lot to do with, you know, your mind being ready. When you are vigilant, when you are like, okay, I'm getting ready to endeavor to do this, but I know there's a number of different things that can either go wrong or that can, you know, can play into how things work out or whatever. So when you look at that stay alert, it's related to being sober. You know, some particular scriptures, you know, reference as analogy of, you know, being drunk. You know, when you're drunk, if you've ever been drunk, I think I was maybe once, drunk and you're intoxicated or whatever, and you're not in your right mind. You're not thinking clearly. Your words may be slurred. You may be overly hyper, and you're just totally out of the regular flow of when you're not intoxicated, right? And so the opposite of that is to be sober. That means to have a clear mind. That means thinking clearly, being able to, you know, have your footing straight and maneuver and do all those things because you're thinking clearly, okay? And then circumspect, that word talks about, it really relates to recognizing your surroundings, recognizing what you're working with, right? We can't walk around like Barney, because the Barney mentality is, you know, you go into life and you're clueless. You're not really considering what, you know, or doing the mental reflection and meditation and planning and inquiring of what you're getting ready to get into, okay? Or to count the cost. That's a part of being staying alert. You're checking out, okay, well, I'm getting ready to do this. What is that going to entail? What do I need to have in line? What do I need to purchase, or what do I need to gather? That's all a part of staying alert and recognizing, okay? Being ready to receive, okay? Exercising self-control, and that means that you don't just go at something. You say, hold up, let me see what am I responsible for in this situation. And so staying alert is something that should be a part of your, just your makeup, a part of your mode of operation, especially spiritually, just spiritually alert, you know. The word talks about that we have a devil, an adversary who walks about, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking who he's going to devour. And in that particular scripture, it relates it to having to be sober. You know, when you're sober, then you recognize, okay, we have an enemy. When you're not sober, it's like you're going at it and you're not recognizing. And when you know you have an enemy, you do certain things to guard yourself, to be alert. Okay, the enemy may try to attack me in my mind. The enemy may try to cut me off at the path, but I have something for him. It's not that you recognize you have an enemy and you get scared and you go, you know, run into your house or go put your head in the sand or hide, or, you know, you walk in fear. No, it's not about that. It's about recognizing what you're dealing with. You know, when you are, you know, even going back to racing, you know, when you race, you're competing against somebody and they're not necessarily, you know, relationship wise, your enemy, but they are your competitor and they're competing against you to win themselves, right? And so you're going to recognize, you know, the strategies and the techniques and the manners of which your competitor or the enemy will come at you or work against you, okay? And so when you recognize those things, you're being alert. You're recognizing, okay, it's not just me, myself, in this thing. I got to be able to recognize what I need to do in order to contend with the enemy, okay? And so so it causes you to really evaluate things, right? And so all of this is connected to us preparing ourselves for action, right? Okay. And so, you know, if you get ready to go on a trip, just a natural trip where you want to go on a road trip, I don't know, to the mountains or whatever. And so when you are alert, then you're going to recognize what is it that I have to do? Of course, you got your car. I got to put the gas in my car because to get from point A to point B, you got to make sure your car is in good working condition, right? So those are things, you know, but you got to also prepare yourself for the trip. Well, how long will the trip be? Well, I need to stop to get lunch. Do I need to bring change of clothes? What is the weather going to be like? Is it going to be stormy weather? Is it going to be, weather that is not good for traveling, you know, not safe for traveling. No, you're going to be alert enough to check out these things and see what you need to do in order to make sure that it is conducive for you to be able to put into action a successful trip, right? Life is like that, you know, and I've talked about organization. We talk about being productive and things like that. You know, if you're trying to organize at your home, then you're going to be alert enough to recognize, okay, I need to see what I need to do in order to spring into action, in order to make sure that this is a success, you know? And so looking at those things in particular, I love this quote that I've heard many times, and I think is really fitting in this. It says, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And so you see action in the middle of that quote. And so, but it all ties into your thoughts, your words, you know. And so if you don't get your thoughts straight and your words straight, then you can't really spring into action. Whatever you're springing into action to do, you know, it could be something that you're trying to create a regiment or a flow or a habit, okay? You don't want a bad habit to be created, right? But all of that, it entails what you're thinking, the words and the actions that you set up, right? So it's a very powerful quote, but as it connects to staying alert, all of that ties into what you're thinking, right? So when things that are important to have as a daily part of your discipline is meditation and reflection. How many times have we heard that, right? But you can't get around it, right? You can't jump into the day or jump into an endeavor without really putting yourself in a place where you're able to think soberly and meditate. And because in that meditation, you're meditating on God, and He may give you a word. He may tell you a certain thing, but you're positioning yourself to slow down life enough so you can place yourself into the presence of God and He can speak to you, and you can ponder the things that He's telling you, and He can show you and lay out some things and bring clarity and give you, expound upon and help you to see how to really begin to put this plan into action, how to really begin to prepare yourself for the enemy that may be trying to cut you off. You know, so all of that is dealing with your thinking, right? And so the other thing is renewing your mind. That connects to your thinking, renewing your mind. These are daily things that you need to do in order to stay alert. because this is what the scripture is saying. You go, if you want to be successful, if you want to be productive, if you want to be well-balanced, right, you have to be in this mode of operation where you are constantly positioning yourself to be alert through your thinking, renewing your mind. And then in renewing your mind, the whole process of renewing your mind has to deal with you got to assess what you're thinking. Are those thoughts good thoughts or bad thoughts? And so every day you should be taking every thought captive, whether it's good or bad. You take it captive. And you analyze whether these are thoughts that align with the spiritual truths of God's word. Does this align with God's way? Does this align with God's plan for my life? And so in renewing your mind, you have to operate in the principle of taking every thought captive. And then what you do is you reject the lies. You reject what does not line up with the word of God, right? That's all a part of you being alert. Okay, because if you're trying to set yourself up to move forward in action and you've already begun to take on thoughts that can paralyze you or place you in fear or shut you down or keep you from moving forward, then, you know, what good is it for you to allow that to have that much power in your life and you not be able to put yourself in a position where you can move forward and spring into action, okay? So take every thought captive, study and meditate on scripture. And a part of that is, how do you know when the thoughts are good or bad? How do you know when the thoughts are aligned with his word? You got to study the word of God out. You got to study the word of God out. Studying is on a regular basis. Studying is you taking the time, you sitting still long enough to train yourself to embrace spiritual truths. That's what studying and meditating and reflecting and planning and renewing your mind, taking every thought captive, all of that's a part of that daily discipline and routine, okay? And then, of course, the praying is a part that goes into the staying alert because, you know, that's a spiritual truth of connecting with God. He's your source. He's your strength. Daddy God, I'm endeavoring to do this and I need your guidance, your direction. I need you to lead me into all truth. I need your protection. I need you. And then all that he empowers you with to be able to speak forth. Okay. Cause prayer is not just petition. Prayer, a part of praying is once you embrace those spiritual truths and yeah, you've gone before God and you ask him for that. Now you got to step in that power that he's given you and you got to decree some things. So there are prayers of decree. Okay. That you need to step in. Those are prophetic types of, prayers. Okay. Where you really have grabbed a hold of what God has given you. And you really realize the authority that he's given you in this. And you really realize, okay, I am preparing my mind for action. And in preparing my mind for action, I operate and flow in the authority and power that he's given me. Okay. All right. And so in the latter part of this particular scripture, I want to share, it says, stay alert and fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming to you. And I think what happens, you know, again, I talk about how, and I've seen it in my life many times when I start something and I'll fall off, right? I start something and I fall off. And it's when I waver on fixing my hope firmly on what God has given me, right? And so I want to expound upon that because a part of preparing your mind for action is, of course, staying alert, right? And then the next part is embracing his grace. Embracing his grace. That means take a hold of, fix yourself on the grace that he's given you. Lock in on the grace that he's given you, right? And this is a state of being within our souls, right? That you have to, when you are fixed on, this is how you operate. How do you operate? I operate in the grace of God. I've embraced it. I don't try to step out of in my own strength or in my own might, in my own intellect, but I operate and I flow in the grace of God. So, of course, you can't flow into something that you don't recognize you have available to you. And so, all of course, that is meditating on what God has provided for us, right? That he graces us with ability and might beyond our own ability and might. He graces us in our shortcomings. He graces us with when we're insufficient, okay? And so, but how do we keep hold of that grace, right? And so it connects to that hope that he talks about. It, setting your hope on that. When you hope in something, that means you're putting your dependency on it, that you recognize that this is something that is worth me leaning on. This is something that's worth me trusting in, right? This is something that I can depend on. I have hope in that. And the opposite of that is no hope. When you don't have hope, that means you don't see a way out. You haven't embraced the possibilities because you don't feel like that it will work. You know, when you are hopeless, that's a terrible state to be in because you have totally deflected and rejected all that God has made available to you to live the abundant life, to be on top, to be successful, to put into play and into action all that he's given us, right? So, but when you set your hope, as the scripture says, it says to fix your hope firmly on the marvelous grace that is coming your way. So in other words, when you hope in something, you recognize I can lean on it. So it's saying I can lean on and depend on his grace. His grace is not going to fail me. You know, it's not like, you know, the feeling that you get that if you're going to jump off a cliff that you're going to fall and you're going to plummet down and hit the ground, right? His grace is where you can take a leap of faith and know that he's going to catch you, right? It may seem like, oh, no, there's no way this is going to work. But hope says, okay, but his grace is there. And if his grace is there, I'm going to take a leap of faith out on the grace that he's given me because I know that God can't fail. He won't fail. He will never fail me. He's always for me. He's on my side. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me, right? So attach that hope in his grace, right? And you know, we put a lot of hope and a lot of trust in a lot of things. You know, we trust in ability. We trust in other people's promises. We trust in, we trust in so much. You know, I think of, you know, when you're driving, we put a lot of trust in other drivers that they're going to drive safely like they need to, right? But I'm telling you, if you don't put your hope and trust in God, you'll see that God is the one that graces us and protects us and keeps us, right? And I love this scripture in Psalms 147, the 10th verse through the 11th. This is from the Passion. It says, his people don't find security in strong horses, for horsepower is nothing to him. Manpower is even less impressive. The Lord shows favor to those who fear him, to his godly lovers who wait for his tender embrace. And another version says, hope in his mercy. That means you're not putting your trust in man. You're not putting your trust in man's might, man's ability. You know, it may seem like it's impressive, but guess what? God's not impressed with it because he has something greater, right? Another scripture from out of Psalms 27 says, some find their strength in their weapons and wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord, our God, who makes us strong and gives us victory. And so you can put your hope in a lot of things. You know, you're hoping and a wishing. You don't want to go around just hoping and wishing in anything. You want to hope in something that you know it's not going to fail. And we know that our God will never fail us, right? And so when it pertains to, you know, life and just everyday things, you got to put your hope in something that you know is not going to fail. And that is his grace. And so you can't go on your own intellect, what you know, what you did before. Oh, I've done this before, so I'm going to do this. No, put your hope in the grace of God to grace you, because you have to recognize it was his grace that carried you. It was his grace that made the difference. It was his grace that enabled you. It was his grace that kept you from falling off the deep end, right? His grace and his mercy. And so you got to recognize that, and you have to be fixed on that, okay? And as you do that, then when you're applying it to everyday life, then you recognize, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and go in my own strength. I'm not going to go in my own intellect. Yeah, you can have all these college degrees, but did you know that God was the one that graced you with the know-how, the intellect to be able to even learn what you're learning? So don't get puffed up in your own intellect, your own knowledge, your own wit, okay? Don't get puffed up in man's wisdom. You know, oh, you're such a wise person. Where do you get that wisdom from? Okay, it's God's endowment, God's empowerment. And so everything that we do, if we want to succeed in life, if we want to do anything, we got to go back to the foundational truths. We got to go back to our foundation, and that is our hope in God, our trust in God, right? And then we're able to spring into action. These are all spiritual truths. And when I look back over my life, that is always woven in the fabric of any success that I've ever had. And if you ask anybody that's successful in God, anybody that loves God and has proven through experience in a relationship with God, they would tell you that that also is a part of the fabric of their life, that their hope and dependency is on God. To even do this message, I'm not trusting in my own intellect. I'm trusting in God. My hope is in God to be able to articulate and explain this word in such a way where it would set you free, right? It is in God. My hope and my trust and my dependency is in God. And so as you go about doing life, you know, taking care of your kids, organizing your life, you know, getting your marriage in order and, you know, just whatever, taking your kids back and forth to recreational activities, football, soccer, sports, all of that. You're on your job and you're trying to manage, you know, your business and trying to do it well and trying to succeed. And you're trying to manage employers and, you know, coworkers and things like that on your job. And you're trying to just do life. You cannot do this in and of yourself. If you want success, you want the promotion, if you want, you know, whatever you want in life, you want the prosperity, you want the good success, then you got to prepare your mind and your heart for action, because it's going to require you to stay alert. It's going to require you to fix your hope in God's grace that's going to enable you to do what you can't do in and of yourself. But when you do it in Him, He will always bring you out on top. He will always cause you to succeed. So I leave you as a reminder with this particular scripture that I started out with from out of Philippians 4:13. Get this fixed in your spirit. Allow this to be your banner over your life. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Hallelujah. I know that this has been a blessing to you, and I know that you will take this spiritual truth and allow it to be a part of your life, that you will have good success and you will be able to spring into action for all that God has for you. So prepare your hearts and your mind for action, because God has great things for you. God bless you. Share this with somebody who I know will be blessed by it as well. God bless you.